doesn't get any better than this.
A couple of beer leaguers
with outrageous flow.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been to the casino since I got kicked out.
You gotta get that fixed.
We're gonna bet so many overs.
You're listening to the Hockey Dudes.
Here we go. Another epi this time. We're in the stew. Tom made his way down to Twin Rivers. Tom, what's going on, man?
Yep, finally made it. Was busy, but we made it down here. Nicer weather out, so not a problem.
Not a problem. Not a problem, he says. Coats might be a problem, but you know what? Still came down to talk about them, didn't you?
I mean, they're a huge problem. They're not good. They're not good at all. They can't score, and they can't keep the puck out of their net. I think those are two big things you got
to
do.
We knew they weren't going to be able to do that, though.
We knew they weren't going to be able to keep the puck out of their net.
Yes.
We thought they were going to score.
We thought they were going to score. They're not scoring right now.
They haven't scored a power play goal yet, and that's kind of concerning.
That's crazy to me.
I think we're the only team in the league that hasn't scored a power play goal yet.
How is the pee-pee this bad?
And we have Johnny Gaudreau.
And Patrick Laine.
Well, he was out for a bit.
Well, now he's back.
Now he's back. We also have Zach Werenski. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't compute in your brain. But let's just say this. They've ran into some good goalies. Let's just say that. It might not even be true. Let's just say it, though. Can we just say it? Because I don't want to...
into your brain.
Like, immediately after the Jackets got pumped by the Bruins and then got pumped by... Well, actually, immediately after they got pumped by the Yotes, I said season's over in my head. And then they got pumped by the Bruins, and I was like, season's really over. And then they got pumped by the Devils, and I was like...
blow up the team.
I was like, I don't... season's... We should actually cancel the season. I actually wish COVID would come back right now to cancel this season.
Let's calm down.
That's how bad it was, though. But now that I haven't watched them. What?
I don't think anything can get that bad.
Okay, fair enough. But now that I've gone 2 days without watching them play, I'm like, season's back on. As soon as we get on the ice, let's play one good game. Let's beat Denver. This is our first rivalry game. This is huge. It's a new season for the Jackets.
Is the game going to be at, like, a good time for us to watch?
2 o'clock on Friday, 2 p.m. I mean, it's kind of a good time.
It's an all right time.
That's kind of like COVID's back. Do you remember when they played in the afternoon against the Lightning in the playoffs?
Yeah,
they had to?
I was watching it on my phone at work.
Yeah. Actually, that might have been against the Leafs. I don't know, but that...
No, it was the Bolts.
Okay. It was the Bolts. One of those blue and white teams.
The same teams.
One of them we sweeped, the other one we beat in their own barn.
One we sweeped and the other we sweeped.
One we sweeped and the other one we got gentlemen sweeped.
But we also sweeped them.
We sweeped them, but they gentlemen sweeped us like the next year.
But we still sweeped
them. We did still sweep them. Can't take that away from us. We are the reason they don't have 3 cups in a row.
Yes.
Credit us.
Big of us. You're welcome, league.
Yeah, you're welcome, league. We're going to try to prevent the Denver-Colorado Avalanche from getting 3 in a row by beating them in the Global Series games, which have nothing to do with their playoff implications.
Zero.
Or anything. But
it has zero because it's only 4 points at most, and I'm sure they'll make up those 4 points elsewhere.
So what's the goal for the week for this Jet for the – the weekend of the Jackets that they have going on against
More than 2 goals in the 2 games.
Okay. Score more than 2 goals in the game. Maybe get 2 points out of 4 possible points.
I'm not even thinking points. I'm just thinking, let's actually score.
Do you want points?
I'd love points.
How many points do you want?
But I'd also love them to just actually score some goals first.
How many points would you like the Jackets to get this weekend?
Minimum one
point. Tom, yes. Asked for 1 overtime.
I'm not asking for a lot.
No, you're not. You're not. And if they win a game, hey, that's huge.
Then I cashed on the over points for this weekend.
Yeah, I think Laine is going to ball out in his hometown. I think he's scoring 4 goals this weekend.
Is Ratanen from that area?
I assume so. Area of the world, yes. Don't know about, like,
Finland.
Don't know about if he's from that town. where they're playing. Tempe, I believe, Finland.
Tempe, Arizona?
Yeah, basically Tempe, Finland. Yep, they're out there, man. It's happening. The Global Series games. Those fans probably have to be so disappointed that the Jackets are the team. Like, I'm sure
absolutely.
I'm sure they love Patrick Laine, obviously, but
that's like when the NFL gives London the Broncos and Jaguars. Like, here's two of our worst teams. Well, the Avs are the best team.
This week we are the Jaguars, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are Jackets. Let's ride.
Yep. Yep. The Jacksonville Jackets, if you will.
The Jacksonville. But I'm throwing in the Broncos. Let's ride.
And it looks like Nick Blankenberg should be suited back into the lineup. He was in full participant in practice today. Jackets are 3-1 when he's on the ice.
His one loss was the Penguins?
Yep. That was the Berg game that I totally misread.
Oh, the Berg game.
I thought he was scoring in that game because his last name.
I was all over that. I loved it.
Yeah. So did I.
3-1. So there'll be 3-2-1.
You know what, Tom? I'm calling for a sweep this weekend.
We did it last year, it's not impossible.
Jackets are sweeping the Colorado Avalanche in Finland.
It's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. I mean, last night, I could have sworn the Bengals were going to win that game, but because of
You were heavy on the Bengals.
I was medium on the Bengals. I wasn't heavy. I was medium on the Bengals because I was like, they're scientifically the better football team, but not last night, but not when they play the Browns.
Never.
Never when they play the Browns.
Never.
Scientifically speaking, Colorado is the better hockey team.
Not against the Coats.
Not against the Coats.
I like it.
Even if it's these Coats.
Maybe it's because Bednar's the coach and we know what he's thinking.
He has too much respect for the
We're inside his own head because he was in this organization. We studied him.
He always looks at the Blue Jackets as a Stanley Cup contender. Or at the very least, a Calder Cup contender, which you have to admit, if the Jackets played in the AHL, they would be Calder Cup contenders.
Yes, they absolutely would. Maybe we just need to do that.
I'd be down for a Calder Cup celebration at the Schwede.
Yeah, we've done it once.
It feels kind of like a Stanley Cup celebration.
I mean,
confirm from personal experience.
The one time we did it, I was just as excited as any other hockey game that I've witnessed.
I was sober for that game, too.
Same.
So
didn't have
sober.
A single bet on the game either.
It was just pure joy.
That was 7 years ago.
I think so. Yeah, 2016.
Six or seven years.
Something like that. Some years ago.
That's a while ago.
Yeah, but that is crazy that Bednar was the coach of that team, and now he's coaching the Colorado Avalanche.
And won a cup.
And won a cup.
He's won a cup on every level.
Is he cooler than John Cooper? In my books, yes, he's definitely cooler and a better coach. I'm gonna say it.
I mean, Cooper hasn't beat Bednar in the playoffs.
No,
Bednar's beat Cooper.
No.
Math adds up.
And Bednar didn't have to go over the cap limit to get his second cup.
Is that confirmed?
You know, I can't actually confirm it. I can't say that there are.
I'll confirm it for you.
That Colorado isn't sliding money to their players under the table.
I'll confirm it for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Cap's going to go up anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, let's raise the cap. Raise the cap. Coats will raise the cup. One day.
Wow.
One day we'll figure it out, right, Tom? Like, it has to happen. Like, this team, speaking of which, I wanted to talk about that.
I mean, the Browns have been saying that since 1964.
Okay, well, let's not cross sauces here. Let me just say, getting to what I was going to say here, Aaron Portsline talking to Johnny Gaudreau after the game on Sunday. Aaron, did you end up seeing what Aaron Portsline asked him, Tom?
I didn't really understand what he was asking, to be honest.
Yeah, it was something along the lines of, do you think, I can't even remember. It was this is Aaron Portsline talking. He says, you thought this team was going to be a good team. They thought they were going to be a good team. You came here. What's going on? Johnny's just like, who? Which team are we talking about?
That's what, like, I don't understand Aaron, what he was trying to ask.
Which team are we talking about? You're talking about this team? And Johnny just looks at him and says, I mean, teams go through this. Like, you know, we suck right now. That's
really
completely fair.
I really wish he'd just been like, that's if Imagine if he asked Torts that.
You thought
Torts would have fought him so quick.
You came here to coach this team. You thought they were going to be a good team. They're not a good team.
Don't you dare talk about my hockey team.
You're saying we need a little of that out of Johnny Gaudreau?
It would have been hilarious.
I like that he was nice about the question. It makes me feel calm about the situation.
I think it was a stupid question.
It was a stupid question. You know who's really scratching his butt right now, though? And I don't know how much longer he has.
Brad Larson.
Yeah.
It's looking tough.
It's looking tough, man. Like I said to you the other day, you can lose to the New Jersey Devils on the road. You can. You're allowed to do that.
Everyone loses.
You just can't lose 7-1 to the New Jersey Devils on the road.
You can lose like 7-6, 7-5.
Absolutely. You can lose 9-8. I don't care.
I'll give you 7-4. They got three empty netters.
I'll give you 12-11.
Yeah.
It could be the craziest hockey game of all time.
But to not even put up a fight, and then on top of that, earlier that week you lost to the Coyotes in your own barn. What was it, 6-3 or something?
Yeah.
They don't even have an away locker room in their arena, and we lost to them.
They don't, yeah. We'll get them back at their barn. We will.
Would you want to go there? Would you want to play?
No, of course not. Of course not. No. No, not at all.
It's so I feel like I'd be so insulted.
It is. They try to do this thing, speaking of the Oats, they try to do the thing where they passed out the free mullets because they play at Mullet Arena. That is cool. It's cool that, you know, they did that. But
cool for one time.
Home game number 25, that place will have 2,000 people at it, if
out
they're
of
lucky.
5,000
out of 5,000 seat bar.
I mean, so one bright side for them is it'll actually look like they have fans for once.
When they play teams like the Bruins, you know, Rangers, Penguins, they will have 5,000.
Oh, yeah,
Penguins
Detroit.
Fans. It'll be so bad.
Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto. It's going to be so – when Edmonton plays there, there's going to be so much blue and orange.
Oh, my
gosh.
Packed
into
one
area.
It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be disgusting.
It absolutely will be.
But it'll be awesome, and I'm totally living for it. I'm totally.
It's honestly some of my favorite parts of the season is watching the game highlights of Arizona losing at home and seeing the mass amounts of away jerseys.
Yep. It helps you realize that no matter how bad the situation gets in Columbus, it will never be that bad. It will never be that bad.
Absolutely.
And we've had a lot of away fans show up at our barns. I mean, a lot.
It's not 5,000 seats.
You were at the Bruins Jackets game the other day. There were a lot of Bees fans there.
Yeah, there were. It's 06. It's tough.
They are in 06, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The
They're
Pens are not in 06, and they bring twice as many fans as the Bruins brought. Yeah. They own us. Let's just be honest. The Penguins, everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Bruins, we're owned.
Absolutely.
We are owned. The Jackets are the rest of the East ragdoll.
But we haven't lost any of our bowl games yet.
I think we have a good record against the West this year, Tom. I'm pretty sure we're 2-1 against the West.
We beat Vancouver.
Yeah, beat Nashville.
And then we lost to Arizona.
2-1 against the West.
Maybe we should just move back.
Or did we played the Blues, right? We lost to them. Yeah, that was a regular season game. 2-2 against the West.
We should just move back to the West.
West is the beast. Yeah, I would be down for I'd be all down for that. But yes, you're right. First bowl game coming up. You got the World Cup.
Yes.
Then it's out of the way. Two quick games.
I think we talked about this. The one I want the most is the Kraft Mac and Cheese Bowl.
Yeah, we got to have that one. Oh, we were speaking of fantasy teams, by the way. I'm on a bye week this week. Tage Thompson had 51 points for me last night.
What did he score?
3 goals, 3 apples.
That might not happen the rest of the year.
He was playing the Red Wings.
Dang, I got Moritz Seider. He had like 10 points.
Yeah, he was just shooting pucks.
I had 3 defensemen score double digits.
Yeah. It's going to be a high-scoring season.
Did you actually draft your team?
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
George was really upset that when I told him that last night that I drafted my team. He's like, I thought we were all under the impression that we were auto-drafting. I was like, Not once did I say I was auto-drafted.
So for people who don't know, we kind of threw this hockey fantasy hockey league together at the last minute. And everybody,
past the last minute.
Everybody agreed that they were going to auto-draft, or like two people suggested, hey, why don't we all auto-draft, like an hour before the draft started. And people are surprised that Tommy and me, who basically the league is, let's be honest, the league is just for you and I to play fantasy hockey.
We auto-drafted last year, so like it wouldn't have been bad.
It's just fun to pick your team. Like, the best part of fantasy hockey is picking the players.
The best part just about fantasy sports is the draft.
Yes. Why would you miss that?
I told George, I was like, I auto-drafted last year, and I won the league. So I feel like I deserve the right to, like, draft a team this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, speaking of George, I had a long conversation with him about the Chili Chant, and he has some thoughts on the Chili Chant, some thoughts on the World Series. We'll hit that one next, and then I also have a throwback segment, because I don't know if you know this, Tom, Hockey Dude's 5 years old this year.
No crap.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that until like 2 weeks ago.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hockey Dude. So we're going to play some throwback segment. It's going to be...
Cake?
I don't know, but...
It would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been really cool. Maybe for the sixth year, we'll do it.
Why six?
I don't know. It's cooler than five. It's more than five.
Nobody celebrates six...
Right.
Like five.
Yeah, let's celebrate the 6 year marks. And let's go 12, all out for 6, 18, 12, 18,
24,
yep.
36, or yep. 30, 36.
Yep, we're going to go all out for that. So, for that, we got a segment of Tom talking about the time that he got Artemi Panarin's tennis ball for him.
Mm.
Pretty cool story. We'll have that at the end of the show. We'll have that in the third segment.
Fourth of the show.
The third segment. Fourth segment, we will do. The Bill of Rights of Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people will really enjoy that one. All right. Yep, we'll have that for you next.
All dangle, no defense.
And the snow.
Now back to the Hockey Dudes.
All right, we're back. Special guest coming on for this segment. This guy has a take that he's very fired up about. And before we get into said take, I'm going to just play... the subject matter of which the take is about. Is that okay with you, George?
I would love nothing more than you to play that soft, sweet, warm jingle.
Okay. Here it comes.
Anybody else have goosebumps?
I got goosebumps right now. Because I feel like the Jackets just scored. I just feel like the Jackets just scored their third goal.
Right? Did you hear the fifth line getting after it with that chant?
I did. Of course I did.
Yeah, remember that.
I can't forget it.
Oh, I'm just saying for when the take comes.
Yeah. Let's hear it, George. What's going on? What's on your mind lately? Do you have something to say about the Chili chant?
I see a lot of blasphemy on social media from alleged fifth liners, some who allegedly helped start the fifth line thing. And for some reason, there's a group of guys out there that are wanting to get the Chili chant away. They say it kills momentum, kills the vibe. And for all of you that just listened to that clip, that right there sounded like vibes were at an all-time high in that arena after that goal.
That clip was from April 27th, 2013. Jackets had to beat the Predators to keep their playoff hopes alive. They did not, the things that they needed to break their way outside of this game didn't break their way, and the Jackets ended up missing the playoffs. But that was the last game of the season, I believe, that year. And, yeah, the arena was buzzing. Now, that was 9 years ago. I will say the Chili chant 9 years ago is somehow different than the Chili chant today. I can't explain it. I cannot explain it. But go back and listen to the Chili chant we just played. That is the original Chili chant. I don't know if I think they might have changed up the... like do 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 part of the song. Something about it has changed to where it doesn't, like, carry that same... Because when you hear an organ at a hockey game, like, or any sort of ball game, it always plays, right?
Oh, 100%. Baseball game, hockey game, you know, some basketball teams also have organs because, I mean, I know in college, a lot of basketball arenas also double as a hockey arena sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an organ. It's a pretty slick instrument, you know. Somebody up there playing that ivory, it gets the people going sometimes.
The organ is probably the slickest instrument that you could have in an arena atmosphere. And for them to play it when the team scores three goals, it's awesome. So I used to play, like, roller hockey in the driveway and whatnot, and I, you know, would do the thing where I brought, like, my mom's laptop out and plugged in speakers and would play whenever I wouldn't play in the games. I would play, like, goal horns for, like, the guys and, like, my younger brothers when they were playing. And I always made sure on the third goal I was playing the chili chant just because it was something that was almost a tradition with the Blue Jackets, you know? And for out-of-towners, people know Ohio for its chili, so it plays. It fits well with Ohio and everything. And yes, the fans need to get into it, and it's easy to get into when you listen to that one from 9 years ago, and that was a huge goal because it was the last goal of the season. And you didn't want it to be in hindsight. Like, in hindsight, you thought that it was going to lead to more down the road, more Genos in the playoffs. It didn't break your way. But that goal was extremely hype, and the fans got into it. You're absolutely right, George. But what is different about the chili chant today? I don't know, but it sounds different.
Well, I want to piggyback on something you said, that the chili chant is almost a tradition for the Blue Jackets, and that clip was from 9 years ago. So if we've been doing it for 9 years, how long do we have to do it? How long do you have to do something before it becomes a tradition? I feel 9 years, I feel we've surpassed the cusp of it now being a tradition.
So you're saying it's older than a tradition? I don't know what could possibly be older than a tradition.
Well, no, I'm saying that it has became a tradition. Like, we're past that of it being almost a tradition. With it being 9 years, I mean, you know, I host Thursday Night Football Watch. It's been going on for 3 years. It's essentially a tradition that the same crew comes over. So it's become a thing over just the course of 3 years. So I feel that since we've got 9 years of chili chants and multiple days, hundreds of days of free chili, like, I can't really get behind the people that are wanting to get rid of it and all of that, because it's kind of a small staple. You know, how the cannon became a staple when the Jackets scored. You know, the chili chant's there for the third goal.
It's there for the third goal, and it means you get free chili. Like, and on from the other perspective too, people say it's not hype. Imagine you're the away team and you give up a goal and the fans are into it. And the fans got free chili. Oh, that pizza I just gave up in the middle of the ice to Johnny Gaudreau that turned into biscuits and baskets the other way gets free chili for the fans. Like, obviously, that's going to make me a little riled up. That's going to get in the opponent's head a little bit. I only see advantages to the chili chant. I just think
now, I do have to ask you something, Hayden, because I will admit to the viewers as well, I'm not as well versed in hockey as the hockey dudes. I'm normally the all sports guy you guys bring me on, but hey, I'm here. In the last 9 years, since we're just going to use that clip of 2013, so we're going to use just a 9-year span. Have you heard the Jackets organization or any Jackets players or coaches complaining that chili chant kills the vibes and kills the momentum for the team?
No, but I'll tell you what, next time I get a chance to interview a player, I will definitely be asking him. I will ask him straight up. I will ask, you know, whoever, what are your thoughts on the chili chant? I'm not afraid.
Exactly.
Because I think their reviews will be quite good, actually. Bet you your bottom dollar. Now, listen, I respect the CBJ Artillery guys. Of course, I love those guys, Jordan and Bucket Hat Kyle. They're my dudes, for sure. I always have been. But yeah, of course you can't agree with every take that they have. And I honestly am split 50-50 I on this one. One, I love the chili chant, but the other side is I miss the old chili chant. You know, like there's a new chili chant these days that I just maybe when the Wendy's to Roosters transition happened, maybe that's when they changed the actual organ. But there's something about the organ in the old chili chant that I think is a little bit better than the organ played in the new chili chant. And I don't know if it's because the old organ was maybe a recorded or played live and the new one is played live and not recorded or vice versa. I don't know what the answer is. But the point is the chili chant is on its last leg right now, George. It's on its last leg because the CBJ Artillery guys, they get things done, man. They do get things done and they do get things to change in the organization because they are kind of the voice of the Blue Jackets fan right now. So you got to be a little bit worried when you see them dropping merch that says end the chili chant. For those who support the chili chant, we must gather and call back for the old chili chant to come back. That's the only way there is to save it, George.
Well, hey, I'm down for the old chili chant. I like the new chili chant. I have no issues with it because in the end, when you're a spectator or a fan at the game and you get something for free because your team excelled in a certain area for the game, which in some cases does result in wins with 3 goals, depending on how the Nets looking. And, you know, I'm not 50-50. I'm 100% keep this chili chant. And there was things said because me and one of those artillery guys had a nice little conversation, and you know, he referred to the fans as something that I'm not going to put out there on the airways. You guys can go read the Twitter account and see it. And, you know, cause he believes that the fans just join in because the board says it and the organ starts playing and they, well, essentially I'll say it. He said that they join in like sheep. So
wow.
By saying that,
I'm going to edit that out.
His fifth line, because, you know, he helped start the thing, he calls them sheep for
Whoa.
Following the board. Whoa. You can edit that too.
Give me a second. Just give me a second. Let me get my. I just let me know when it's coming. Here we go.
I can.
Yeah, just let me know, like, I'm about to say it, and I'll just drop one of these in. All right, continue.
Yeah, so he says that about the fans, and yet he then wants to do the same thing, and here it comes, use them as sheep, and they to get rid of the chili chant. He wants to persuade them into buying the T-shirt and following him when this is also a guy who said, when the board says get loud, or when the fifth line starts the CBJ chant, he said he usually does not join in because he's too busy drinking his beer and he cheers when he wants. Now, that's not a commander in queef that I want leading my fifth line. I mean, if you are head honcho of that, I need you leading it. I need you going and trying to steal Stinger's drum and getting your fifth line going if the Jackets are down. Not just sitting there, drinking your beer, tweeting away. Like, no, I need you to get rowdy. Like, why are you at the game if you don't want to get rowdy? Like, are you a real fan or are you a fake fan that just wants to make money off the real fans?
Wow. Wow, George. This is incredible stuff out of you.
This is my hot take on his cold take on the hot chili chant. It's just, like I said in the beginning, man, it's blasphemy because to me, it's tradition, basically. You know, like what next? You know, I know he's not affiliated with Ohio State, but do they want to get rid of free fries when the men's basketball team scores so many points? I mean, come on. What are we doing? I know there's not a chant for that, but out of everything to be upset or worried about, the chili chant, out of everything. Like, come on. I know that there's got to be something more deep about it,
Power play hasn't scored a goal yet this year, George.
I haven't seen a tweet about that. Seen more about the chili. What's more important to him?
Yeah.
You
know,
the team winning and getting opinions on what's going on with the power play line and all of that, or chili.
It never bothered me. Like, oh, we have to do this chant now. This totally kills the vibe of the arena. No, we just scored a Geno. We got free effing chili now, boys. It doesn't take away the goal. The goal still stands. Go get another one. It's not like they do it on the fourth goal or the fifth goal. It's just three goals. When the team gets their team hat trick, it's chili chant. Like, come on. And we're at a point nowadays where the Jack could score so many goals and give up so many goals that the third goal usually comes in the first or second period. So it's not even like in the apex moment of the game.
Exactly. And I mean, hey, like I told him, he's entitled to his opinion and his take. But my opinion, it's a bad one. So, you know, do what you want over there at the artillery. It's none of my business, but don't come after the chili chant when you don't even cheer for it. Like, if you don't cheer like a true fan, don't try to remove something that we just heard. I would say a very vast majority of the arena getting very hyped for. Because, like you said, it's a Geno. Doesn't come off the board. Fans are already happy. Oh, it's the third goal. Rooster's chili. Now, this is a take that I honestly have to agree on. Wendy's chili is better than Rooster's. I will say that. But Rooster's menu overall, better than Wendy's. So if you have free chili the next day at Rooster's, that's an excuse to go to Rooster's. I'm going to go have lunch at Rooster's. Or if it's a nice cold day, you know, just got off the job site, nice December day, team just scored three Genos last night. You walk in, you save like $8.99, $9.99. So then you can get a free thing of chili. You don't have to eat it and save it for later. I mean, there's so much more good than bad because I'm just still stuck on kills momentum and kills the vibe. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you interview the coach? Did you interview players? Do you have hard evidence from the organization stating that it kills vibes and momentum, or does it just kill your vibe? You know?
Chili doesn't kill people. Guns kill people.
Yes.
George, is that it? Are those your final thoughts on the chili chant?
Yeah, I mean, got me pretty fired up because, you know, your boy loves some chili. And that was one of the best things about leaving a Jackets game. If they won, they freaking won. And if they lost, but they scored three goals, yeah, it sucks they lost. But you had a little pick-me-up, you know, just something to be like, well, you know, it sucks we got pumped by the Yotes 6-3, but hey, I got free lunch tomorrow at work.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, there's another game. There's the long season, you know, so. But yeah, that's about the end of my rant on that, because he didn't respond to my last tweet, so I take that as a dub in a Twitter trip off.
I think he might be done talking to you. All right, that was a solid 15 minutes on the chili chant. Let's move on real quickly just to get you out of here. You're right. You are the all sports question, George, and I know you had a couple cooking up yesterday, but plans obviously changed. You had to talk about the chili chant, and I had to let you. So I will require you to me give you one all sports question. Who do you got winning a 7-game series between the Phillies and the Astros in the World Series?
Oh, man, I'll say I still hate the Astros, you know, but I do like me some Dusty Baker. He's a great guy. Loved him in Cincinnati. I'm real happy he's back in the World Series in a 7-gamer. It's going to be a far take for them to do, but I see the Phillies getting it done in 7.
Wow. I love that. I love that, George.
And it's going to be something that, you know, from game one on, they're going to have to play their best ball because, I mean, let's be honest, Astros pitching, dirty. Verlander, probably going to win the Cy Young. So when he's on the bump, I mean, I hate to say, you know, I just said Phillies in seven, but when Verlander's on the bump, in my eyes, whoever is on the other team, that's an L. I mean, that dude is dialed in, dicing up the strike zone left and right. But with, you know, Bryce Harper playing lights out right now, Phillies wild card team. It's a Cinderella story. It's a David versus Goliath, if we want to put it like that in baseball. You've got the wild card team that, if we look back, really shouldn't have got out of the wild card because the Cardinals had it in game two and then just pooped down their legs for the rest of the second game and then game three. And, you know, they got through it and they made it all the way to the World Series and they're going up against the big, bad, undefeated in the postseason Astros. So money's going to be on the Astros and they're undefeated. So they're due for a loss, you would think, in the sports world. You know, it's very hard to go undefeated like that. Teams have done it, but, you know, it's a tall task. But, man, the city of Philly, I know it may not be your favorite place, Hayden, but you got to be honest and you got to admit that city has grit.
Oh, it does. I mean, it does. I'm not denying it of that.
And that's what I think is going to put them over the Astros in this seven-game series.
Does Houston not have grit?
I wouldn't say they have grit. I would say that they have overall everything. You know what I mean? It's like that. It's just – I don't even know how to put it to you, but they have it. You know what I mean? They just have everything, you know, good bats, good field. They got great pitching, and then they got Dusty there managing these over here managing them.
Yeah,
but I just think when it comes down into the nitty gritty of the games, the last thing I said in that the grit, that's what Philly has. Schwarber, I think he's in my opinion he was a Gold Glover. I haven't checked to see if he had any votes for anything like that, but the dude is a tank, and like I said, Bryce Harper. ALCS MVP, dude hit that bomb to put them up one, which won them the game later on against the Padres. And Aaron Nola, I had him in fantasy baseball this year. He was my top fantasy pitcher that I had other than Clayton Kershaw. And, I mean, he dices it up too. So I would love to see an Aaron Nola-Verlander matchup in game one. Because I think Houston should do that. That way, if they go into a game six, game seven with Philly, they're going to want to have Verlander healthy, rested, and ready to just go whenever then. So that's the only thing. Like I said in the beginning, Verlander, 30, but Phil's in seven, and the city of Philly might burn down when the Phillies win. And then the Eagles are still undefeated. And I don't know too much about how the Flyers are doing. They're usually a pretty hard-nosed team. It's early in the hockey season. It's early in the NBA season, so I can't really make any takes on how they're going to be with those. But City Philly, it's rocking. It's a great place to be. And I'm putting my money on them. I'm betting them to win the World Series. And then that might be the only bet that I do for the series as a whole. But individually in the games, Phillies all day.
Fair. I got nothing else to say to you, George. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, I enjoy it. Wish Tom were here, you know, like the little trio action. Upset he couldn't be here, but...
Tom's going to have his boots on the ground in the Schwide tonight. So next episode you catch him on, he'll give your firsthand experience as to what happened in Jackets versus Bruins in the Schwido.
Yeah, I seen your bets you put out for the game tonight, and I was thinking the same thing. I mean, Bruins are, what, 7-1 on the year?
Yeah, they're due to lose.
Time to hand them another loss.
Jackets are 1-0 against Original Six teams. Watch out.
Watch out. That hot take. Anybody betting, keep an eye out. I'm going to throw one more thing in there, Hayden, for your viewers at home. The last 6 weeks of the NFL season, the Thursday night football over in field goals has hit.
Yes, it has.
Free money for you guys. Free money. Just letting you know. Free money.
All right. That's George Litchfield, everybody. George, I'll catch you on the flip side. All right, man?
Yes, sir. Go Jackets. Love you all. See you again soon.
This show is a real clapper to the pillows.
Just let me be and let me play the hockey.
You're listening to the Hockey Dudes.
Yeah, we did, but that was time travel. Now, whatever. All right. Now we're going to do a throwback segment in honor of our 5 years of being a podcast. Tom, what is the segment that we got?
From what I've been told, it's about the time I saved Artemi Panarin's ball from the cage and arguably saved the Jackets season.
Yes.
And led them to sweeping the Bolts.
Yes, so credit Tom on this one. Let's kick it over to him. Old Tom, that is.
I get to work, and I wasn't able to go to work Wednesday, so like all the stuff had already been pulled out of our big like 15-foot cage that's got all our shit in it. So I didn't have to do any of that. So it was a pretty easy day. Like, I hadn't done that much yet. I was just kind of sitting around. And my boss, Jason, he leaves, and I'm just sitting in our little room that we have to chill at during the game or during intermissions. And I'm just chilling there, and I start getting this call from me. It's like, hey, can you come out to our cage? And I'm like, yeah, sure, man. I'll be there in like 2 seconds. So I walk out to the cage, and he's standing there with like the social media guys. And I'm like, why the hell are these guys here? Like, they have no reason to like be with us right now. Like, we're two different departments. I'm the game ops department.
The social media interns?
The social media intern and like his boss. So Peter Fish.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay.
I hear you.
And so they're like looking up the cage, and honestly, as I'm walking over, I'm like, they want me to climb this cage. I was thinking like, they need me to get up there to get something, but I don't know what. So I get up to my boss, Jason. He's like, hey, remember how you like to climb things? And just like a quick story, like, I climbed this one like 3-rack thing once to get this tub off the top shelf, and ever since then, if they need someone to climb somewhere to get something, like, they just call me. And this is the second time I've climbed the cage because I had to put something up there once. So yeah, so he asked me, he's like, you know, yeah, like to climb things. I'm like, yeah, like, what's up? He's like, well, we need you to climb the cage again because Panarin's tennis ball got stuck up there. And I see his warm up. He puts his hoodie and his shorts on, and he just warms up outside the locker room, you know, doing like circles around the little like event level concourse that we have with his tennis ball, throwing it off walls and the ground for the hand-eye coordination. And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. I was like, I straight up was just like, yeah, no problem. So, but like the last time I climbed this cage, there were like a bunch of couches stacked up on each other where I was able to get on top of the couches and just hop up on the cage. So it made it so much easier. But all those couches were moved out this time. So I had to get this little step stool that only went up like 5 feet. So I had to climb the next 10 feet. So I finally like get myself to the top. I hoist myself up. I start looking around. I find this tennis ball. I toss it down to my boss. And then I'm like, how in the hell am I getting down? Because like, I can't, like, if I try to climb down, I'm just like going to slip my throat on the cage.
Panarin's watching, right?
Panarin's watching me. He's watching you. like, he's still doing his laps. But like, out of the corner of my eye, like, I see him, like, he's like staring up at me like, holy hell, this guy's like actually climbing up there for a tennis ball. But so like, I look down on the other side of the cage, and there's just this one singular couch on the ground. I'm like,
I can do it.
I can jump that far. I'm like, I can make it. So I probably jump 12 feet down to the ground and land on this couch, landed it perfectly. Like, if I was in the Olympics, it would have been a 10. It would have been a 10, if I'm being honest. And I walk out of the cage, and Panarin, he just jogs over to me. He looks me right in the eye. He sticks out his hand. We shake hands. And he says, thank you. And then he goes on about his day.
He says, thank you for the tennis ball.
Well, he says, thank you. Like,
thank you.
thank you. Like some Russian, like the Russian.
Dude, that's
accent.
Back-to-back interactions with the Russian players you've had. So
yeah, I went from Bob to Panarin.
Spookvember.
So Russians are staying in Columbus.
So we've made it through Spooktober.
We're in Rushvember.
Rushvember, and then next is gonna be Dicksember, where just you have all these interactions with Torts. Is the next?
Yeah, sure.
But no, next time you're down there, you gotta get a picture of this cage to put on the Twitter account.
So yeah, they know. So I will. It's like 15 feet tall. I'm not lying.
No, I want to see pictures of it.
And
my next question is, what did they have in the media room, in the cafeteria? What were they serving?
Oh, we had some chicken, some pork loin, and some Mexican rice. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. But as soon as Panarin leaves, my boss looks at me. He's like, if he stays, it's because of you. He's like, I doubt he got any of this help in Chicago.
Nobody got his tennis ball.
Nobody got his tennis ball in Chicago. I'm like, I'm the reason we won the cup.
Let's go.
And then I looked down at my hands, and just blood was running from my hands because I cut myself on the cage.
There you go. You bled for the Schwide.
But I didn't bleed for the Schwide. I bled for the Panarin and the Coats.
Hashtag the Save the Bread movement.
I don't know what else I can do to save Panarin.
The Panarin watch is in full effect, and the hockey dudes are in full support of Panarin staying in
Columbus. Anyone listening out there, I work for the team. I have bled for this man. If you can think of anything else for me to do to save this man, let me know, because I'm out of options.
Yes.
I've gone as far as you can go to, like, show someone how much you care about him and bleeding.
And all we're at, like, our podcast is literally bleeding for Panarin, and we can't get one crazy fan out there to throw bread on the ice. That's a shame.
Like,
that's all we need is one crazy fan to throw bread on the ice.
I could have died if I slipped and fell off that cage. It's a far fall. I'm dying.
That's how important it is to you, though, Tom.
I put my life on the line for Artemi Panarin. So, if anyone has any suggestions on what else I can do to make sure he stays in Columbus, let me know. I have put my life and blood on the line.
That's
for
just
him.
How important it is to you, because our lives are just miserable and sad when the Blue Jackets aren't good at hockey. So, if any of you listeners give a single damn about Tom, you would throw some bread on the ice, because we are showing our best support as a podcast.
I'm bleeding over here.
At how much we love him, you need to do the same. Get out there.
I told Hayden this morning, like, I took my Band-Aids off to go to bed, and I woke up this morning, and there's just blood all over my hands and my pillows, because there's my wounds open.
I will personally buy you a loaf of bread if you throw it on the ice.
So, Tom, I got a question for you. You probably sweat when you were climbing up there. You know, it's probably tough. You bled. Did you cry yet?
It hurt.
Blood, sweat, and tears?
It hurt.
I think you're missing one thing.
I like to look at it as epic and funny.
Well, it's funny,
but
like,
epic.
You might not believe it, but I am not lying to you guys. Like, I climbed a 15-foot cage to save Artemi Panarin's tennis ball.
There you go. That's why you needed to...
I could have walked 10 feet back to my book bag and pulled out one of the 7 tennis balls I have in that bag. But no, I wanted to climb the 15-foot cage to get his tennis ball back.
Oh, you know what we should do now? We should buy
him... Send him a bag of tennis balls.
Yes, we should buy him a bag of tennis balls. It'd be like, from the hockey dudes. For Christmas. Let's go.
Be like, hey, can you please deliver this to Panarin?
Let's go.
I know he likes his tennis balls, and I'd hate to see him lose another one on top of our cage.
A pack of 3 or 6 just fresh ones. You know, the ones that you bring out,
you
smell.
That honestly would be pretty funny. If we got him a package of tennis balls, and like I took it to my boss and was like, is there some way we can give this to Panarin as like a cute little joke, like for him to stay like, hey, you lost your tennis ball that one time, but we got it back. But just in case you lose it again, here's 20 more.
It'd be great. It'd be epic.
That'd be hilarious. But so, yeah, please. And then also, if you have any Band-Aids that you'd like to send me, please send me them. I am running out.
Oh, should we do a Hockey Dudes Christmas list? That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, top of my list is Band-Aids, because I'm all out.
Okay.
And if I have to climb more cages, I'm going to be bleeding a lot.
I'm going to keep track of our hockey Christmas list.
All dangle, no defense.
And snow.
Now back to the Hockey Dudes.
You remember that day that you got Artemi Panarin's tennis ball?
I do.
Do you still have the wounds on your hands? They scarred up?
I mean, I have so many scars on my hands that they just, it's kind of bled, like they all just kind of bleed in together.
We understand. Yeah, you.
They all kind of mix and match with each other.
Who was your favorite coworker that you worked with? And you can keep in mind, you can name any of the Blue Jackets because you technically did work for the Blue Jackets, and so did they.
Probably Panarin or Werenski. I talked to them the most out of my time there. Werenski and I just talked about like Call of Duty for like half an hour, so that was pretty cool.
How is the new Call of Duty?
I've only played it once. The one time I played it, the kids were very good.
I heard you can't view your kill death ratio anymore in game.
Oh,
I'm
oh yeah, they took away the deaths.
I'm immediately out on that.
But I was playing terrible, so it was good for that point. I mean, there are kids that were so, within not even a day had passed, and there was people that already had like sight lines down where I never saw them.
Yeah, just wait for the Christmas noobs to come in.
Yes,
that's when you rake them. That's when when you rake in the points.
I enjoyed it. I was having fun. If I was 12 years old, the controller would have been at the wall.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the Bill of Rights. This week, we are going to draft 4 Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you get. You just get Cowboys.
Okay.
You get to go first.
I am going to take Han Solo.
Okay.
Space Cowboy.
Space Cowboy, yeah.
Thank you.
That's a great pick.
I don't know. He's not a traditional cowboy, but he's a space cowboy.
He's a space cowboy. Yeah, I was thinking if we had a separate. I also have a space cowboy that I will be drafting as well. So
okay,
I'll get to that one in a second. My first pick is going to be arguably one of the greatest running backs of all time, Emmitt Smith.
I knew you're going there.
Yes, have to take the Mr. Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt Smith, yeah. I mean, just a great running back.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know if there's any more I need to say on that one.
He still has the record, most yards, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And my second Cowboy.
Do people remember him for being a Cowboy or a Cardinal?
That's a great question. My second Cowboy is going to be, you'll never see this coming, Barry Sanders.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State
yeah.
Cowboy.
No, that entirely plays.
So if you thought, oh, Hayden got the second best running back of all time, but he didn't get the first in his list. Boom, I got the first on my list as well.
That absolutely plays.
2 Cowboys off the board.
My next pick, I'm going to do Dirty Dan from the SpongeBob.
That's a great cowboy.
Thank you.
Wow.
who you calling Pinhead?
Give me a second. Just give me a second. Actually,
just an absolute memorable scene from SpongeBob.
Hold on, I'm just gonna play it right here. I'm just gonna play it. Here you go.
All right, Pinhead, your time is up.
Who are you calling Pinhead? I want to be Dirty Dan.
What makes you think you can be Dirty Dan?
I'm Dirty Dan.
I'd say I'm Dirty Dan.
I'd say I'm Dirty Dan.
No! I'd say I'm Dirty Dan. No!
I'm Dirty Dan.
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 Yeah, that's my second. That's my second pick. I feel like that was a really good one. And then my third one, I think you'd appreciate this. Django.
The lizard.
No.
Oh, yes, yes.
Jamie Foxx.
Right, right, of course.
Oh, the Django, the cowboy.
I was thinking of Rango for some reason.
I mean, similar names.
Django Unchained. He's a great cowboy.
Just from one of my favorite movies, so.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'm going to get cleaned up on this list here, big time, because my next one is pretty stupid. I'm trying to think of a less stupid third one, but I'm just going to go with Woody.
I had that one. I had thought of that one.
I'm just going to go with Woody. I mean, he's a classic. I know he's a toy, but Tom Hanks, you got that aspect there. I'll take that. And then my final pick, this is tough. I said I was going to do a space cowboy. I was leaning a certain way, but I don't know if I want to do Space Cowboy. Hold on, let me think. The fact that I have to look up his name is ridiculous. I'm gonna take Lone Star from Spaceballs.
You're welcome for the assist. I got an A1.
He's flying around with John Candy and Barf.
I'm just gonna give. Is it fair to give me an A1 on that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, I'll give you an A1 because I'm just gonna take arguably one of the greatest head coaches of all time in Jimmy Johnson.
That's fair.
One on all three levels.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
High school, D1 college, and Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah. Soupy season.
I have an honorable mention. I didn't want to double dip in the SpongeBob. I really thought about it. I was going to do Dennis from the SpongeBob movie.
Oh, yes, yes. The guy with the 10-gallon hat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a good one. Oh, I should have taken...
I just didn't want to double dip SpongeBob.
Who's the mayor from Fairly Odd Parents?
Oh,
Dimsdale,
Tim Dale.
I know he's got the Dimsdale.
Dan Dimmadol. Dan Dimmadol.
Frustrated. It's the mayor of Dimsdale.
I don't know.
I don't know what his name is. Yeah,
it was a tongue twister.
Yeah, it was.
Still is.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
I mean, you just could have said like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I could have said Clint, but doesn't he got some like racial things going on there?
I don't think so.
I think he might have said the N-word a time or two.
I don't think so. I mean, I would assume a lot of people back then said it.
All right, so if we're pretending that's not true, then yeah, he's a great cowboy.
Yeah,
that's completely
yeah.
Fair. I was going to say Matthew McConaughey for my Space Cowboy because we talked about him last one. Because that was kind of on my mind.
Interstellar?
Yeah. He's kind of a space cowboy. Or just a cowboy in general, Matthew McConaughey. Like,
yeah. He's from Texas. I had another one. I forgot it. Sorry.
That's all right. That's kind of a... It sounded like a good one at first, but I think now saying it is pretty stupid.
I thought I had some good picks.
You had some great picks. I had some bad picks. I have a great 1-2 punch at running back.
You have the best running back duo you could ask for.
I have the best running back room of the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Probably in just the history of running back rooms. I have the best one. Who can say they have Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders in the same room?
Not a whole lot.
Exactly.
Not a whole lot. No, it's definitely up there. Absolutely up there.
Thank you. Thank you. Other than that, I guess I haven't seen as many Westerns as I'd liked.
I mean, Clint Eastwood's done a lot. I forget the other guy. He's kind
of... Maybe the other guy that we're not thinking of, that you are thinking of, is the guy that I think said the N-word.
Hmm?
Nothing. Just forget about it. This is pointless.
Delete that out of my head. Got it.
Yeah. Delete it out of your head. Delete it out of your heart. Coats are going to sweep Denver in the Global Series. Just watch it happen.
Sorry, I was still trying to think of Cowboys.
No, you're good. I'm still also trying to think of Cowboys. We left a lot of good... We're leaving a lot of good ones on the board.
The other, like, older Western one, his name's really bothering me how I can't think of it.
Best Western movie actors...
Like, as soon as you...
John Wayne?
Yeah.
He's the guy that has the...
He's the one with the racial slurs you were thinking
of. Of course. I would like to apologize directly to any Clint Eastwood family members that may be listening to this.
Could you fact check me? I think Clint Eastwood is married to a Native American. I could be making that up. Absolutely could be fabricated.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's the most cowboy thing you can absolutely do. Right?
Maybe.
Is married somebody, you know?
I don't know. I've never...
Well, because, you know, cowboys were always interacting with Native Americans.
Yeah, I've never been a cowboy.
Dina Eastwood, she went to Arizona State, I can tell you that.
Okay. Like I said, I could have completely fabricated that.
She looks Native American, for what it's worth.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, that.
Her dad was a wrestling coach.
All right. That tells you all you need to know
she
about.
She got a master's degree in creative writing at San Jose State. I'm really trying to get you. I'm really trying to land this take for you.
I don't think you're gonna.
I'm diving through.
I think it's pretty much gone.
I think this.
The movie Tombstone. That's all about cowboys.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie.
I'm just gonna take the whole state of Texas.
It's a big state.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the whole state of Texas as cowboys.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right. That was good. I guess a good talk.
I don't really know any other, like, real big cowboys.
Yeah, no, neither do I. It was pretty,
outside of, like,
pretty stupid one.
Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman.
Doesn't Neil Diamond have a song? No. I don't know. All right. Yeah, okay. Well, this was horrible.
So I liked
sorry.
It.
I'm so sorry. I mean, it's just bad vibes right now with the
was less
being as,
morbid than Ways to Die.
It was less morbid than that. It was less morbid than that. I mean, but we've pretty
I
much
I give you a B minus.
Well, the coats are dead though. Like that's the thing. It's like the vibes are just off this week, I feel like.
I give your topic a B minus.
Okay. All right. You got any other things you want to talk about before we just, you know,
no.
cut our billers? All right.
I was always happy with a B minus.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a B minus. Everybody have a good week and tell your dog.
Mm-hmm.